Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, May 16th, 2011. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Today's show will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, What Parents and Students Should Know About Getting Into College, with my guest, Karen Grace Baker. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us because I realize you have lots of other things to do with your time. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it who may benefit. And you can send them over to my show page, blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown. There you'll be able to follow the show, and the good thing about that is you'll get an announcement, a reminder each week of the show. You could also add yourself as a friend, leave a comment, and also there's a way there for you to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Now, I know that some of you have always wanted to write a book, and I know that because you've told me, but you've hesitated because you didn't know how to get started. Or maybe you're one of those people who you've been writing pages and pages for months, even years. Or some of you have told me that you've been keeping journals since you were a teenager. So many of you have lots of material, but you just don't know how to get your book published. If this sounds like you, I have created a workshop that's perfect for you that will help you go from choosing your title, your book cover, how to get your book written quickly, finished, marketed, and into print. This workshop is called How to Write Your Nonfiction Book in 90 Days. Yes, I said 90 days, even if you're an ordinary person and hated high school English. Now, the most important part about this workshop, or maybe not the most important, but one of the most important pieces, is that I'm going to tell you how to start earning money from your book even before it's finished. The workshop is available as a live workshop in Southern California or as a home study course that you can complete in the comfort of your home from wherever you're located. You can go over to my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, to get the details. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. To get at that goal, each week I interview guests from many different fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it, all of those things contribute to our happiness. Today's episode is What Parents and Students Must Know About Getting Into College, with my guest, Karen Grace Baker, an educational strategist and president of Wright College Choice. Karen is a general management expert. She has been in the field over 20 years with leading Fortune 100 companies and entertainment studios throughout the United States. She has held key executive positions at Sony Wonder, that's the children's division of Sony's Music Entertainment. She's been with the Walt Disney Company's television division and at General Mills. She's also served in key accounting and financial positions at Digital Equipment Corporation, MCI Communications, and Polaroid. Karen holds a BA degree from Boston College and an MBA degree from Clark Atlanta University. She also has her college counseling certificate from the University of California at San Diego. She has spoken at marketing conferences across the country, has been a guest columnist for Kid Screen Magazine and Progressive Grocer, and was also featured in Essence Magazine as one of the top corporate women in America. Through her own consulting agency, Strategic Marketing Resources, Karen created a subsidiary, Kid Culture Marketing, I have to slow down to say that, which has been contracted to develop marketing programs for children's divisions of many entertainment studios in Hollywood, such as Universal Studios Home Video, Sony Pictures Entertainment, MGM Studios, and so on. In 2009, Karen's passion for education led her to start Wright College Choice, her educational consulting firm, where she helps students and parents develop strategies during their middle and high school years to ensure that they maximize their educational and extracurricular opportunities in order to enhance their college acceptances. Now, rather than aiming for the top colleges as defined by magazine lists and rankings, she assists students in narrowing down and determining the right college fit in order to make their college choice one that they will enjoy and that will provide them with a positive college experience. She has successfully helped students secure scholarships and gain acceptances into schools such as Stanford, Carnegie Mellon, Harvard, and Yale. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Karen Grace Baker. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Flora. Good morning. How are you?
I am great, and I am delighted to have you speak on this topic. I just wish I had met you 20 years ago when I was getting my kids into college, because things have changed a lot about college acceptance. So could you talk about that first, maybe why it's so much tougher for the average student, the modern student, to get in than it was for us baby boomers 10, 20, 30 years ago?
Well, it's interesting. There are, if you look at the college landscape, there are a lot of different things that have happened that have increased the pressure and the competitive landscape for colleges.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is that we have a lot more students that are graduating from high school and continuing on to college. One of the things that's interesting to note is that of the students that are going to complete high school this year, about 67% are headed to college. And that's really up from about 50% in 1980. So in that short period of time, or in the period of time where a lot of your listeners may have graduated from high school and were attending college, we've got a significant shift in the percentage of students going to college from high school.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that's happening is that we just have a large amount of students who are coming from international arena that are also enrolling in our colleges in the U.S. For example, there's lots of competition coming from India, about a 9% increase, about 100,000 students are coming from the international market coming into the U.S. to attend our colleges, and from China. About 21% more students, an increase of 21% of students are coming from the international market. So what's happening is there's a lot of demand for U.S. education, both here in the United States as well as abroad. So we have lots of students that are coming into this competitive arena.
Hmm.
The other reason it's becoming very difficult for students to get into colleges is technology has worked, I guess, for us and against us.
Mm-hmm.
As you may know, and a lot of listeners can relate to this, when a lot of us applied to college, we basically picked three or four colleges, maybe. They were probably colleges that were close to home, and we took a paper application, and we completed it, and we were done.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote our essay, wrote the application, submitted the applications, we were done. Now with technology, the opportunity to apply to colleges is a lot easier, because we have an application called the Common Application.
Mm-hmm.
So what that does is that allows students to apply to a number of different colleges all at one time. All the basic information is populated into the online application. So what that's doing for a lot of students is it enables them to apply to more colleges than they normally would have.
Okay.
It's not unusual today for students to apply to a dozen schools.
Wow.
Some students are applying to as many as 20 colleges at one time because it's that much easier.
Mm-hmm.
What that also does, though, is that increases the number of applications for each of the colleges. If you think about it's getting easier to apply and the students don't have as much work to put in terms of having to keep redoing all that basic information and write the essay, getting a lot more applications. A number of different aspects. The other aspect I think we have to look at in terms of increasing applications is that there are a lot of students, the economic downturn is also working in the favor of the colleges because a lot of students are applying to colleges and universities because they believe it's going to help them find better employment following graduation. If they go to college, a lot of students that might have thought about going to a community college or to a trade or technical school are realizing that most of the professions for the future really require a college degree. So that's also driving all these numbers.
So I was thinking as you were talking, too, with the economic downturn, that people who perhaps would be in the workforce or have been in the workforce might decide if they're laid off or they no longer have a job that they might go back to college or start college. Perhaps people who delayed going in the first place, now they may choose college as an option. And that adds, you know, these are people who maybe have been out of high school for a decade and they're going back. And that, that adds
right
to the numbers. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What's also happened is that a lot of adults are now entering the college force. So what's happening for a lot of the colleges is even the face of what a college student looks like is changing because there now are more older adult students that are getting back into colleges to either complete a degree that they started many years ago. Some of them are in college with their students. I mean, you've got students and parents going to college at the same time,
they've
decided that they want to, you have a lot of career changers, people that got laid off from a job and they decided, well, the only way that I'm going to be able to go into another profession or to enhance my skills is to go back and get another degree. So there are lots of different factors, but the most important thing to remember is there are lots of colleges out there. There's over 3,400 four-year colleges available for people, and there aren't just the top 20 colleges that we constantly hear about all the time.
Right. That gets me to my next question is, how do we begin the process of finding the right college? Because I'm thinking that, at least when my children were in high school, that we expected the high school counselor to be informed and to help the student navigate into this process, but that's not a true experience for everyone. Some high school counselors are not as well informed as they should be or actively involved in helping students. So how do we begin this process?
Well, there's a couple of different ways to do it. One, you're absolutely right. The other thing that's happening with all of the economic downturn and with a lot of the cutbacks in the school systems, we don't have as many counselors that are in the schools as should be there to service the students. Across the country, the average counselor-student ratio is 500 to 1.
Oh, my goodness.
So you've got 500 students for every one counselor.
Oh.
In California, if you just look at our own state, in California, it's double the amount, and it's only going to get worse. So you've got 900 to 1,000 students that each counselor is supposed to be servicing. What you're also finding with the counselors is a lot of times those counselors don't have 100% of their time allocated to trying to help students get into college. They're usually general counselors who have other duties other than college counseling. They have other duties in terms of looking at attendance, truancies, behavioral problems. So they're spending a very small percentage of their time, even if they're trained to be a college counselor, really focusing on that for the student. So what's happening is a lot of times what parents and students have to do is they have to at least begin to do their own research. The good news is there are a lot of websites. Most of the colleges have a website, can start doing that research. But in terms of looking at the college process and what type of college students should be looking at, there's a way that the students should start focusing on the factors that are important to them as they look at colleges.
When should students begin this planning that you're talking about? Because here we are at graduation time in many places, and Unfortunately, some people think that high school graduation signals the start of looking for college. When should planning begin for college?
Oh my goodness. Okay. When should planning begin? Some people will probably fall out of their seats when they hear this, but middle school really should be the starting point for starting to have students and parents start to think about college.
Wow.
Doesn't mean you have to select your college, but if you have not started to look at the curriculum that your child is taking while they're in middle school, by the time you get to high school and start looking at the college prep curriculum, sometimes you've already taken yourself out of the ballpark for certain selective or highly selective colleges. For example, if you're a middle school student, and if by the time you graduate from middle school going into high school, you have not at least taken Algebra 1, sometimes that means you may already be falling behind. Because most colleges want you to have 3 years, usually 4 years of math, and they want you, when you graduate from high school, to have got to the point where you're at least taking pre-calculus, if not calculus. If you haven't taken Algebra 1 in middle school, then if you start in high school, you may get through Algebra 1, Geometry, Algebra 2, maybe pre-calculus. But for a lot of students, they're going through advanced levels of calculus, the same thing for a number of other courses. So at least begin to think about the types of courses that you'll need in middle school. Advancing into high school is probably a good place to start.
Let's clarify what middle school is, too, because they have changed the cutoffs for school so much that what I used to think of middle school as 5, 6, 7, but what do you mean by middle school? What grade
middle
level?
Middle school, in most schools, that is typically now from 6th to 8th grade.
Okay,
So by the time, and in some schools, that's changing, shifting demographics have caused some of the elementary schools to absorb. Some of them still have 6th grade, but a lot of the middle schools are now 6th through 8th grade. So basically the cutoff point should be by the time you are entering 8th grade, you should at least be in at the very least, a pre-algebra, if not Algebra 1 class, so that you're prepared when you get to high school to complete by your senior year, your junior year, a pre-calculus class.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm thinking, too, is many parents may be thinking that, well, my child doesn't know what he wants to do with his career, but what you're talking about here is preparation across the board, that having this math, 4 years of math is something that colleges are going to be looking at no matter what your major, correct?
Absolutely. And I think that's a good point you bring across, Flora, because what happens is a lot of times parents get, you know, years ago we used to really concentrate on what your major was going to be in college and how you were going to take what your major was going to be and how you're going to prepare for that in high school as you get ready to enter college. Mm-hmm. It's less important what your major is going to be, but that it's more important for you to be aware of the classes you should be taking to prepare for college for any major. Students, the beautiful thing is that in most colleges, there's a major called undeclared or undecided. And it's a beautiful thing because that means that you don't have to commit to what it is that you want to do. And anyone that's been to college understands that once you get to college, many people start off as pre-med. They start off as engineering. They start off that they're going to be teachers or psychologists. And then once they get there and start taking the classes, they realize that that may not be the path that they want to take. So it's less important to figure out your major as it is to make sure that you've taken all the prerequisites in high school to prepare you for any major in college.
I was laughing when you said that because I was shocked when I taught for Cal State Northridge a few decades ago now, to find students at the senior level who were almost graduating who still had undeclared majors. I just hadn't heard of that before, and I thought it was kind of shocking. And at that point, of course, they look at what they have, I guess, unit-wise, and select something to enable them to get a general degree of some sort. But it's not unusual for students to get to the senior level in college and still have an undeclared major.
And Yeah, and that's absolutely, and that's it's preferred that at some point in time they come to a decision and
sure.
figure out some major, whether it's even if it's something that they may not be related to a particular profession, but it's something
yeah.
they had an interest in. I mean, how many people are history majors or English majors? If you
mm-hmm.
look at that and look at that in terms of an educational pathway to a specific career, that's not a specific career unless you're going to go into teaching. But
right.
it's an opportunity for the students to explore what it is they're interested in and then figure it out as they go along. Many companies will hire students who, as a matter of fact, they prefer to hire students who may be history or English majors because they have the writing skills
mm-hmm,
versus
mm-hmm.
a student that's going to be purely a math major. So I always
mm-hmm.
try to talk to students about pursue your interests, pursue your passion, what it is you want in college, and then you'll figure out when it comes time to find a job or go to graduate school what your major should be or whether you need a specific major for a particular profession.
Wow.
So
I want, before we go any further, I want you to tell listeners how they can contact you because your service is designed to help parents through this process, and your service is extremely important because I like the fact that you call it Right College Choice. I think we've made a mistake in the past of thinking of certain colleges or holding fast to some dream idea of what we want, where we want to go, when in fact the right fit has a lot of components to it. So tell us, how would listeners reach you to help them with the process?
Okay. Probably the easiest way to reach me is to go to my website, which is
mm-hmm.
which is www.rightcollegechoice.com.
Okay.
I'm also signed up for Twitter. My Twitter name is Right College Fit.
Okay.
And I also have a Facebook page, Right College Choice. So,
okay.
And my phone number is
323-936-7171. Okay, let me repeat that. You can reach Karen at www.right, spell R-I-G-H-T, collegechoice.com,
yes.
or her phone number, 323-936-7671. And I'm sure they can probably find the Facebook and Twitter handles over on your website.
Yes.
Okay, and I urge parents and grandparents and loved ones to consider this because I'm telling you, it's a different game getting into college than it once was. Now, tell me, Karen, does it really matter if my child is happy in college? Shouldn't I just be more concerned about finding the best college that will ensure they get a job when they graduate?
Okay. When I think the most one of the things that is overlooked a lot, and one of the things that I really try to work with students and parents is to find the school that fits the right personality for that student, that's the right
mm-hmm.
size, that's the right location, that has activities that the student would be interested in. The interesting thing is that a little-known statistic is that 50% of students end up returning to their college after the first year.
Wow.
And that speaks to the fact that there are a lot of students that pick colleges because their friends are going there, because
mm-hmm.
the U.S. News and World Report or Newsweek says it's the best college, and because
mm-hmm.
the students are going by brand name and a lot of the marketing, and I've worked in the world of marketing, so I know a little bit about this world, students are paying more attention to what the rankings are versus finding the school that is the right school for them. Case in point, a student may say, I want to go to a huge state school, a University of Michigan or Michigan State or a University of California school. But that student may not understand that a lot of times in those huge schools like that, they may not have the interaction that they want with the professor, the faculty-student
mm-hmm.
ratio.
Yes.
They may be, if they're a student that wants that individualized attention, that may not be the right school for them. They may
mm-hmm.
it may be a better fit for them to go to a smaller, to a Cal State or a smaller state college or a private university. But
mm-hmm.
as we go through the process, we start to look at what classes they enjoyed, what do they like about their high school experience, do they want a college that's the same size as their high school, or do
mm-hmm.
they want a college that's much bigger or much smaller. What programs does the college have? What activities? And it's very important for your student to be happy on the campus, because they're going to spend, you know, ostensibly 4 years on that campus.
Right.
And as a parent, you want them to be happy, because if you're paying money for them to go to that college, you certainly don't want your money to be wasted when your student comes home after the first year and doesn't want to return, or is not going to be happy enough or motivated to be able to complete their degree.
Right. So this is such an important component, because I assure you that my mother probably never thought about matching my personality with a college. In those days, we didn't think about the fact that all schools are not created equal, and that in order to fit in and have a successful experience, there are a number of important factors. But you mentioned money, so let's jump to that before we run out of time, because a lot of parents are in the situation where they don't have the money to send their children to a costly school, maybe not even to an expensive school, and they may want their children to go to a community college first, but they may be discouraged, you know, in that endeavor, and the counselor maybe at school may be encouraging them to go to an expensive school. What is the deal with money in college?
Okay. The simple answer in a short period of time is people should not let the lack of money discourage them from applying to colleges. If you have a good student who fits the profile of that college in terms of their grades, and your family income does not allow you to be able to afford to pay for that college, there are colleges that will help to meet your financial need.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you're a low-income student and you are an excellent student, A and B student, getting good grades, but your parents, the college has determined your parents cannot afford to pay, say, $50,000 for a school. If you meet the qualifications, if that school has enough money, they will help meet that need. So I always tell parents, a lot of parents decide that they're going to send their kid to a state school because they feel the private school is not affordable for them, and sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes they may be able to, with enough financial aid and grants from that school, including sometimes merit scholarships for academics, they may be able to fully afford that school as much as they would a community college or a state school. So I always tell parents, don't be discouraged. We can look at the school's budget. Let's look at your budget and what your financial need is before you start making the decision in advance that you cannot afford it.
And so, I think, of course, as a retired teacher from the community college system, I very much believe in the community colleges for some students as an excellent place to begin their college education, because you do have the lower teacher-student ratio. You are going to get more intimate experience in many of them, and it's less expensive, and you build up your confidence, you build up your grades, you build up all the things you need now to transfer to a university. So is this something you've advised parents in the past?
Absolutely. This is where finding the right college fit. Now, where the challenge usually becomes is a lot of times the students are so concerned with brand names and going away to college that a lot of times the students are not interested in the community colleges because they perceive it as being lesser than or less than going to a four-year college. But one of the things that we always talk about, which is important for parents to understand, is there are transfer programs at the community colleges. And what has to happen is if we make a decision that community college is the right pathway to take, there's a planning process that you must engage in from day one. I tell parents all the time, if you're going to community college, the moment that you, before you begin to sign up for your classes, the first meeting you should have is with the transfer center.
Yes,
what happens
exactly.
If you don't do that, then this is where you hear the horror stories of students being at community college for as long as they would be at a four-year college and never complete it.
Because they get
into the system, and then they haven't talked to the transfer center. The transfer center doesn't understand they're trying to transfer to a four-year college, and then they end up being there for a number of years and not taking the correct classes that are transferable to both public and private universities.
I want to thank you, Karen. We're at the end of our time. This has been fantastic. Obviously, we could go on with this. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us. please go back and listen to the recording, but more importantly, visit Karen's website, WrightCollegeChoice.com, to learn more about her services. Have a blessed week, everyone, and remember to color your life happy.